Rishus, our principal, Rav Newman, and Rishus, our assistant principal, Rav Sauber. As Rabbi Sauber just mentioned, it's towards the end of the year, so everybody, you know, is thinking a little bit about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Sedra has to always say something somewhat relevant. So, Parshas Kisavo, we know, has a lot of what is called tochacha, a lot of rebuke. Some people call it curses. And when you read them, they certainly sound pretty bad. And it's very shocking when you read some of the psukim. But Al-Chazal have said that one of the purposes of reading the tochacha, and some even say that one of the reasons that when it's read in a very low voice, is so that you should pay even more attention to it. Because what we're saying is, Tichle Shana V'Kilalo Seha, Tichle Shana V'Ubircha Seha. We're saying that the year should end with all its curses, and the year should begin with only blessing. We always want to begin with bracha. And in fact, even though there are many bad things mentioned about in Kisavo, there's also a lot of bracha. In fact, if you take a look at some of the psukim about the bracha, they're very encouraging. Now, there's one particular pasuk over here that I had a question about. At the beginning of Perek Chof Ches, the pasuk says as follows. The beginning in pasuk Aleph, it says, if you listen to the words that Hashem gives you to guard and do the mitzvahs, then in pasuk Beis it says, Uvo'u olecha kol abrachos ha'ele v'hisigucha, and it will come on you all of these blessings v'hisigucha. Now, the word v'hisigucha, the Targum Unklus translates, when it says v'hisigucha, it says v'yid bekunach. V'yid bekunach from the word devek. It'll cling to you. All these brachas will come to you and they will cling to you. They'll stick to you. The Ebenezer has a little bit of a different shot, whether they're going to come to you, whether you like it or not. Even if you don't go searching for it, v'hisigucha, they're going to come to you, they're going to reach you. That's the way they offer this shot. But, you know, if it says that all these blessings are going to come to you, you don't really need the word the isigucha. The isigucha means it's going to reach you. But if they're going to come to you, that means they're already reached to you. Why do you need the word the isigucha? That was the question that I was concerned about in that particular pasuk. Everybody knows that at the beginning of the Sedra, it talks about mikra bikurim, the talking about the bikurim. In fact, when you listen to the Kriyas HaTorah tomorrow, you're going to say to yourself, wait a minute, I know some of these psukim. I've heard these psukim many times. Stuff like, you know, the Anisa, the Amaita, Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim of Bimsei Ma'at, Vayogar Sham Bimsei Ma'at, Vayisham Lagai Gadol or Tzum Vada. Where do we say it? Anybody know where we say these words over and over again? Where do we say these words? Right? Vayoreya Wal Sonu HaMitzrim Vayanunu. When do we say these words yet? Yeah? An Haggadah, of course. An Haggadah. Why? Why does the whole Haggadah darshen up these psukim? Okay, so one of the reasons is, and it's clear, if you take a look at the Mishnah in Bikurim and in the Rambam, in the Hilchos Bikurim, it tells a very interesting thing. Because Bikurim shows Hakaras Hatov. Bikurim teaches us to have thankfulness for good. The Mishnah says what they do. Somebody saw that Bikurim means first fruits. So somebody had a tree and there was a fig growing on the tree. The first fig he saw, he would take a little piece of string, like, you know, the red bendle, you know. He'd take a piece of string and he'd tie it around the fig. Why do you have to do that? Because you got to know which one's the first fruits. Because there's going to be many figs on the tree, and you're going to give the first fruit. So he tied a little string around the fig. There was a pomegranate, so he tied it around the pomegranate. You know, there was a date, so he tied it around a date. Tied a little string around the date. And then the Rambam goes on to say, and the Mishnah says, they would tie it around, then they would take the date and the fig and the pomegranate, and they would put it in a basket, and they put the basket on top of a behemoth, and they would put all kinds of fancy doodads around the horns of the ox that would take it and it would go towards Yerushalayim. Imagine, here they are, they're up in the Galil, and they got to go all the way down to Yerushalayim to bring this. And it says that every town they passed, every town they passed, when they would walk through the fields, everybody stopped what they were doing, and they would have music playing, there'd be dancing, people would sing. As they got closer to Yerushalayim, everybody joined in the procession. There were hundreds, thousands of people walking in back of this cow that's got some basket of fruit, and all of it is for one fig. The whole thing for one fig, one date. All of this for one fig and one date. To teach us the unbelievable power of thankfulness for good. The unbelievable power of Hakaras HaTov. You've got to be thankful for one fig, for one day. Certainly for one person, for one parent, for one brother, one sister, one friend, one Rebbe, one neighbor. One anything. There's a tremendous amount of thankfulness for good. But not everyone looks upon one fig or one date as being anything good. Not everybody looks at a fig that starts growing on the fig tree and ties a string around it. Not everybody thinks it's good. They don't even know what's good. Some people think figs aren't good at all. They won't even tie a string around it. And some people don't even know what good is. They really don't. They think the iPad 13 is good. I know there isn't one yet, but when it comes out, it's going to be number one. That's what's good. Not everybody knows what's good. Some people think the strangest things in the world are good, and they're not good at all. So you need a certain appreciation for good, right? So I was about 10, 11 years old. And I lived across the street on the Lower East Side from a shul, Bialystok, a famous Bialystok shul. And there was a minyan every morning at 7:45. That was made specifically for the yeshiva boys who went to RJJ that started at 9, so we could daven at 7:45. We're finished by 8:30. We go up, have a little breakfast. It's only a 10-minute walk to the yeshiva. We were in school by 9 o'clock, supposedly. Around then. Fine. So I went to the 7:45 minyan because my father said you have to go to the 7:45 minyan. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get to school on time. So every morning, I live on the second floor, and I ran down the stairs. I went to the 7:45 minyan, and life went on. One day, a new guy comes to shul. I never saw him in the minyan before. There were about 25, 30 people in the minyan. A new guy comes to shul, and I looked at him and said, "Oh, I know this fella. He lives in my building. He's a famous detective." He was a tough-looking guy. And I saw him in shul one day. I didn't even know he was Jewish. He didn't look Jewish. He never wore a yarmulke. I never knew he was Jewish. And he comes to shul. And then the next day he comes to shul again. And I noticed that he's saying Kaddish. And then he comes every day for the next 2, 4, 6 weeks. I see him every day and I realize he's coming to shul to say Kaddish. And one day, I left shul the same time he did. And we crossed the street together. And we got into the elevator. I was only 2 flights up, but I was with the detective, so I wasn't going to walk. I figured, you know. So I'm in the elevator with him, and he turns to me and says, "Young man, would you like to see my gun?" Now, you tell an 11-year-old kid, "You want to see a gun?" Now, today, he'd probably get arrested, but in those days, you know, he were friendly. I said, "You got a gun?" you want to see the gun? I said, "Yeah, can I see the gun?" He says, "But don't touch." I said, "Okay." He opens his jacket. He's got a shoulder holster with a gun. And I looked at it. Wow. You know? And then he says an interesting thing to me. He says, "Can I teach you something?" I said, "Guy got a gun. I better listen." You know? So he says to me, he says, "You keep going to services every morning. You do what your father tells you. Don't be like me. I waited too long. I didn't appreciate the power of prayer and going to synagogue services every day. Now I have to go, so I go. You go because you want to go, not because you have to go." I never missed a day of shul after that, especially since he had a gun. If you have an appreciation for something, you know it's good. If good comes to you, but you don't appreciate it, there's no blessing in the good. Hakaras HaTov doesn't work if you don't know what Tov is. Oh, now I understand that pasuk that we started with. The pasuk says, Uvo'u alecha kol abrachos ha'ele, all of these blessings are going to come to you, v'hi sigucha, and you're going to have a hasoga. Reb Shaul Yedid Yataub, the second Majasa Rebbe who composed over 1,000 Nigunim, says, you'll have a hasoga. You'll have an appreciation. You'll have an understanding of the blessing. And that's the second blessing. It's another bracha. Having the bracha is only half of it. Appreciating what a bracha is, what makes that bracha so powerful. A lot of people don't appreciate a yeshiva education. That's why they're not here. But if you've got it, if you've got Shabbos, you've got Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, not only is it good to have, but if you appreciate it, the goodness is that much more. That's a blessing in and of itself. And that's why Parshas Kisavo precedes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so that we can have a sense of appreciation and goodness and blessing to recognize all the brachas that our Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us. And if we can keep that in mind, we're going to be blessed with a real Shana Tova Umesuka and a Ksiva V'Chasima Tova. Good job.